Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, July 23rd, and it's 1:30 p.m. This is Talk on the Rock, and I'm your host, Colette Zarnicki. Although Wrangell is a small town, people find ways to connect with others. And for today, we're going to talk about the Nemo Point Friday Night Potlucks. We have with us today Bruce Eagle and Susan Wise Eagle here to share their experiences and the history of it. You can call in to ask a question. The number to KSTK is 874-2345. Thanks so much, both of you, for coming in today. How are you guys?
I'm old. I'm doing good. It's been a long time since I've been in the studio. You know, Chloe Edge and I used to do a show on Saturday mornings in the studio many, many years ago.
What was the show?
It was the Chloe Show. I just came along as a hitchhiker.
Perfect.
That's fun.
Yeah. And how are you?
I'm doing fine. And I'm also getting old, but not as old. But yeah, I've been here since 87.
Yeah.
So I'm a newcomer. I haven't been here 40 years yet. So,
Bruce, were you born here?
Oh no, I came in 1970.
Okay, okay. And what were you doing? Like, what brought you here?
What brought me here? My ex-wife got a job as a school teacher, and I bought a fishing boat.
Yeah.
And back in those days, it was kind of fun because you couldn't find any apartments at all. Because, you know, the town was going huckley-buck. We had the mills, we still had the institute going. We had all the outlying logging camps and a pretty good-sized fishing industry. So we ended up getting an apartment from Carl Bradley. And the only reason we got it is because I was willing to drive a school bus. Because Carl had the contract for school buses. So I drove school bus for 2 years for Carl, and we ended up with an apartment.
Okay, wait, so it was a trade kind of?
Oh, no. Oh. It was a condition of employment. If I quit driving school bus, we lost the apartment.
I see.
I mean, I can understand why, because the housing was really, really tight back then. And then we ended up, I've got a daughter in town. That's Shanley Meisner. I think everybody knows her. You can't miss her. She's up at the pharmacy.
Yeah, yeah. And for when you arrived in 87, should I say Susan Wise?
Wise Eagle.
Wise Eagle. Call you Wise Eagle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was it like when you arrived here in 87?
Housing was still fairly tight. I worked for the Forest Service's Fish and Wildlife staff. They had a government house for me. I was able to. I had a place to live. That wasn't a problem. But trying to find a place to buy, you know, was very difficult. But then I met this guy that already had a house and was looking for a new wife, and we hit it off. And that was how I got a house to live in.
There you go. Yeah.
So anyway, we need to talk about the potluck that we have every Friday night. It starts at 6. You can show up whenever. And like I said, we start eating at 6. Mm-hmm. This year has been really fantastic. We've had, 30, 40 people there about every week?
The least we've had on a night was about 20. But most nights this year have been great with lots of people showing up. Last year, not so much. For some reason, people didn't show up. But we've had quite a few this year.
Yeah. So approximately 40 people almost every
40, the 40 was the most we had. One night, we just were just loaded. Was that when we had the crab feed?
That was the crab feed.
Yeah, because what we ended up doing, and we probably should start from the beginning, but even still, we started the 1st of June. The first Friday in June is our first potluck each year. And since we can still get our personal use crab, us and Rod Rill would get a whole bunch of crab, and we'd cook it up and bring cooked crab sections out. And then at that time, Benny Curtis, he was very good at shucking crab, and he would teach people how to shuck crab efficiently, and so people got a crab feed and just had to bring a side dish.
That's awesome. What was last Friday's potluck like?
Oh, we had probably 25 or 30 people, and lots of good food. That's one thing. It's for a while. Well, let's go back to the beginning. It started out back in the 90s. The Forest Service converted a whole bunch of old log landings to campsites, what they call dispersed campsites, and then built two small campgrounds, one at Yunshuku Loop. We had a contest to name all the different campsites. And that has three sites, and it's just past the host campsite and then Lower Salamander campsite. But there's none of them were big enough for a campground host like you see at the big campgrounds down south that make sure everything is taken care of. But the Forest Service got the idea of having an island host. And so they would bring up somebody to with their camper or trailer or whatever they had to live in. And they were volunteers, just like down south. And they would, but they'd have, a little stipend to pay for their gas to drive around the island and keep all of the campsites supplied with firewood and toilet paper, keep the outhouses clean. If anything needed repairs, let the appropriate people know at the Forest Service what needed repairing. And our first host was the couple, Dan and Marlene Hojan. And Dan came up with the idea of he wanted a little potluck just to get to meet some of the, it was mostly originally Forest Service people, so he could get to know them. But also then it kind of expanded to the tourists, and he would go around, and any campers that were around, he would invite them. And then we'd put up posters so that, invite everybody from the community. So it was a way of getting together with people you didn't normally get together with. So it was Dan Hojan that started that. And then after a few years, the Forest Service saw that they had this captive audience and decided to start providing a campfire program with the Friday Night Potluck. And that went on for a few years. But then, after a while, it got to where it got so atrociously expensive to bring up campground hosts with their campers and trailers and vehicles and whatnot that their funding was cut. So they dropped that program and stopped providing the campfire educational programs. And so the last few years, it's pretty much just been a get-together where people get to BS and share stories and good food.
Yeah. We're still getting a number of people from out of town. Not like in the past when we had the two ferries a week, a lot of independent travelers would stop here. And we're still in contact with people from Australia. And another one I'm in contact with, he lives in New York State, and he makes maple syrup. So, and it's been lots and lots of different people from all over the world. In fact, this last week, we still had, at least four or five people that are not local that came to the potluck. So it's just a way of meeting people.
Oh, 4th of July weekend was a real big crowd because there were so many visitors in town that a lot of them former residents who were visiting family or whatever, and the family would bring them out. And that was the 40-person crowd that time.
And we every now and then we have a program. If something really interesting shows up, we'll get together and rope somebody into giving us a short spiel. But most of the time we don't now.
Yeah, that's so interesting and fascinating. I'm definitely going to have to go to one of them.
And you get to eat, different kinds of food. In fact, I think this week, if I'm not mistaken, I think we're going to have porcupine.
Oh, wow.
Again.
Yeah, we had porcupine chili once before. And And last week we had a porcupine show up in the campsite while we were there. And of course, my dog was really curious. And so it was a little tiny baby porcupine. So we're trying to get it out of the campsite so my dog wouldn't get quilled. Although he's a wuss and a scaredy cat. So he usually keeps his distance.
How's the porcupine?
It's very good. If you get them in the summertime, in the winter, because they don't hibernate, they eat the bark off of hemlock and spruce. And so they taste really vile in the winter and first thing in the spring. And, of course, the foresters up at the Forest Service don't like them either because they girdle the trees, especially the young trees in the clear cuts and stuff. Later in the summer, they switch to the leaves of salmonberry and blueberry and stuff like that. So, if they make it to your garden, they love strawberry leaves and raspberry leaves and blackberry leaves. And, and they can do a lot of damage in the garden. And but the one this last Friday was just a tiny baby, wasn't it? Rod Rill is the one kind of coordinating the potlucks now. Years past, we've done it when he was too busy. And but this year, he's doing it, and he does an excellent job. He shows up early, starts the fire. So he's over there with this porcupine. He's got leather shoes on, and he's trying to nudge it out of the way with his shoes. Ends up with a shoe full of porcupine quills. And it wasn't working, so I got a stick and kind of encouraged him to go across the road. And there was a couple there that were friends of ours that had brought them out, and we got to talking about it, and apparently Ron had already told them that, because they had said they'd seen a porcupine. You didn't kill it? Ooh, why would I do that? To eat it. You can eat them? And then, of course, she started talking to me when I'm over there nudging the porcupine across the road and into the brush, and I said, yeah, we already had porcupine once. Oh, darn, I'm sorry, I missed it. What was it, Sunday morning? And I could hear our dog, Fred. Fred comes to the potlucks. And I could hear him barking. And he has different barks depending on if it's a deer he's chasing out of the yard or he's got something cornered. And I go, oh, that's he's got something cornered, probably a porcupine bark. And sure enough, he had one cornered in the garage, a nice big one. And so I dispatched it and skinned it. And so we're going to cook it up. And the friends of the friends are still going to be in town. And so I'm going to cook it up Bruce is going to cook it up. He's the cook in our house. Some kind of stew or something where you're not overly spiced, so you can still taste the porcupine. But the older ones tend to be a little chewy, but that's what they make pressure cookers and Instapots for, you know. So.
Yeah. Good.
One of the things, everybody will see that white tent out there.
Mm-hmm.
We actually replaced the old Forest Service-owned tent after how many years of being next to the fire and no longer very stable, so
it was leaking
terribly. So you could, if it was raining, you made sure your plate wasn't where the drip was, and you wore a rain hat. But a couple of years ago, when we decided to replace it, all we did is we put a can out, and we ended up with enough money for a brand new tent,
mm-hmm.
and same size as the old one. Last year, we actually had to go back to the Forest Service to pick up one more picnic table. We had two, but we were running out of room, and people were having to stand and eat. So we ended up with another picnic table. And what else have we done out there?
Yeah, because the Forest Service anymore, they're starting to get a little more recreation dollars now. But when the old tent was falling apart, they said, well, we don't have the money for a new one. And so that was when Rod came up with the idea of putting out a collection jar, and each week he'd remind people to add to it. And they're saying now there's a rumor they might put up a permanent shelter, but we'll see. But at least they give us permission to leave the tent there all year. And like I say, running short on space, so I said, well, let's find out if they've got an old picnic table. And sure enough, well, do you want a metal one or a wooden one? We want a wooden one like that matches the other. So then no problem. They brought that out. But so they help out a little bit. And like I say, they give us permission to leave the tent there all summer. But Rod and the two of us, we put it up each year. And then usually the last potluck of the summer, which is the last Friday in August. And we, at the end of the potluck, we'll convince people to help us take it down. And it goes really fast when you have people to help dismantle it.
Yeah. And one thing, if anybody in the community wants to have a picnic in the rain, if they need a tent, except on Friday nights, they're welcome to use it.
Yeah.
Trash left behind that that a lot of people do use it during the week.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen the tent. So you just go up towards a Nemo Point,
It's the sign says Nemo Recreation Loop Road, and it's about a mile out there, and it's the very first campsite on the left hand side, and you can't miss the big white tent. And it's open sided. And they're usually Rod is there by a little after 5 or 5:30, and we show up about that time. And about 6, well, Rod tries to keep everybody from starting in until 6 o'clock, but there's always some people that get hungry and start early.
Right. So, okay. So would you say every Friday, potluck, does it vary, like, what goes on?
What food people bring, and who shows up. There's some regulars that almost always show up if there's not something else going on. It's different food every time. And usually it's the time of year. Like, the last couple times we were bringing greens and stuff from the garden, or either salad or... Last week was cucumbers, sugar snap peas, and what else did we have? Broccoli.
Yeah.
For people to dip in the ranch dressing. But there's people. There was baked king salmon. There's always some kind of desserts, multiple desserts. Rod is famous for his pies, and he always brings pies. But there's lots of other dessert dishes that show up, casseroles.
And don't forget, we have hot dogs.
Yes. He's got the
constant
pointy skewers.
If you want hot dogs.
Because we do have a fire pit there, and Rod's, that's what he does when he shows up early, is get the fire started, and then make sure that there's some alder to throw on it, and then people can cook their hot dogs over the fire if that's what they want to do.
That's great. And anyone can go, huh?
Anybody.
it's
go.
It's encouraged.
It's encouraged. It's kind of fun having people from out of town, and you hear, you're not getting the same old story every week, and so.
Yeah, just thinking about the person from New York who is a maple syrup
guy, yeah.
He's been here, three or four times now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the people from Australia, they were only here once, but one thing they did is if every now and then Susan will bring a bottle of our homemade wine, and they took a bottle of the wine from, they came to our house and got it. And that bottle now has been all over Australia on fence posts.
They have photographs. They sent us photographs of
our wine bottle,
in different places.
What kind of wine was it that you made?
I think that was just blackberry, old Buzzard Winery,
blackberry
wine.
Rhubarb. We don't make the grape wines, but there's an amazing number of fruits that you can make wine out of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I've got, one is in the picture, I think one's in the capital of Australia. There's my wine bottle. Okay, fine. I think it's empty now, though, I'm pretty sure.
That's great.
And then I designed the and print the labels on the computer. So it started out as Wise Eagle Winery, but then Bruce wanted me to put Bruce Eagle, Master Vintner on it. Okay, it's not Wise Eagle Winery anymore. How about Old Buzzard Winery? That's, we joke, he's the old buzzard and I'm the brainy buzzard.
So what does it say on the label then?
It'll have.
Let's see, it's Old Buzzard Winery, and then in the middle will be usually a little clip art type picture of whatever fruit it is, and then a name, you know, like raspberry, whatever. And then across the bottom, it'll be what year it was bottled. And
don't forget the yeast they used.
It has to be on the label. And then on the side, it's got an Old Buzzard. It was a neat little clip art thing I got off the internet. And the clip art went with Old Buzzard's Brew, which he was on one of those old coffee pots. But I changed that out as I've got art. Corel Draw, anyways, and put in a wine bottle that he's perched on. Oh. And then it'll have whether it's homemade, homegrown fruit or wild picked fruit, or and what year it was bottled, and Bruce Eagle Master Vintner. Yeah.
It's not that all my wines are very good, but that's, some of them are excellent. Some, and some, oh my God, whoever bottled that should be shot.
Oh no.
Type. Oh yeah.
So the potlucks, as you said earlier, they've gone through some evolution. The Forest Service had a presentation, and now it's just, you know, welcome to everybody. Sometimes there's presents.
Yeah, sometimes if we find somebody that's really interesting that it hasn't been done before, mm-hmm. we get them. I think the last one was when we had the big bug outbreak on the spruce and the hemlock.
Did we have her out there? Yes, we did. Elizabeth Graham. And in fact, she's going to be here for Bearfest and doing a presentation. I think that's who's doing it. That's on the schedule for Bearfest. And she's been out there. I've done programs. My first retirement project was figuring out what spiders we had around here. And then I kind of morphed into moths. And so I've done a few presentations. Both, we used to have a Chautauqua in the wintertime. And then I've done a few presentations out there on moths.
Nice.
And then, didn't you do one on winemaking?
I did one on winemaking. I did one on tomato plants.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day when I used to produce a lot of tomato plants.
Yeah, we used to sell them here in town, but it's...
Because they couldn't get tomato plants because of the embargo.
Quarantine
into Alaska on tomato plants. I raised plants to sell in town.
Wow.
And then I've gotten too old and too decrepit to do it.
Yeah.
And then the price of dirt and the price of seeds went through the roof. And I said, there's nobody that could pay the amount of money I would require to recoup my investment. So.
And apparently they can get them if they're certified, inspected, that they don't have, because the tomatoes can carry the same blight that caused the Irish potato famine. And so that's why they have the quarantine on tomato plants. Mm. It's not transmitted by the seeds, but it can be on the plants. So, and they don't want it. So the whole state of Alaska is quarantined for even bringing in seed potatoes unless they're inspected. And it turns out that little piece of paper that says, yes, these are certified, is a very expensive piece of paper.
So you can grow them. If you grow them here, you don't need it.
Yeah. Right. And like the tomato plants that they did get, because, you know, they were having problems with getting plants this year. And so the people out there at 6 Mile, they started tomato plants and sold them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you share a couple memorable moments you've experienced at the potlucks?
Let's see. The best one was when I got charged for
assaulting a federal officer.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Apparently, you cannot even get in a verbal argument with a federal employee conducting their, business.
And the potluck evidently was business. And
well, she was in uniform. And
oh, well, she
was,
I didn't
she
remember,
was being
I, okay,
paid
I didn't remember.
To do her presentation, but they got in an argument. And actually, she started it. She happened to be dating a new trooper, state trooper, and so he was trying to get in her good graces, so he filed the charges on her behalf of assault of a federal officer.
Needless to say, the charges got dropped.
Wow, I would say that's definitely memorable.
That was fun. And let's see, what else?
Well, most of the time, it's been just good times and yeah.
Yeah, but and like I say, now it's just you'll find the clusters of 6, 7, 8 people, and the clusters kind of keep intermingling during the evening.
Yeah.
On you know who's got the right conversation going.
Yeah, yeah. So chances are not everybody is going to have a charge.
I mean, in 20 years that happened once, you know.
But if you know, if you wanted to, you can come out and.
Actually, 30 years.
It's been 30 years.
It's been about 30 years now, because it was like the mid 90s when it started.
Yeah.
And so.
Time goes by. Time
yes.
goes by, but the memory stays, of
yes.
course.
Yeah.
So, okay, so they're at 6 p.m. every Friday, but mm-hmm. you can show up. People can show up, you know, within the hour before. And
well, if yeah. you show up too late, the good stuff might already be gone.
Mm-hmm. So try to be there by 6.
Yeah. There's one person who notoriously shows up at 6:30. And even though he is now retired, he still shows up at 6:30 and brings his dish, which everybody has already eaten by then. But we always have to go see if, well, maybe we ought to have a little helping of that, too.
Yeah.
And
just people's clocks, internal clocks.
Yeah.
Is there anything else people need to know before showing up at the potluck?
Bug dope is nice.
Yes. It sometimes is very buggy out there. We've been pretty good this summer. It hasn't been bad at all. If you have a favorite beverage, bring your own. But Rod usually provides soda pop and water and stuff like that. So
nice. And yeah, the last one is the last Friday of August. So
yes.
There's 5 more Fridays, maybe?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Not a lot. We were trying to get on the air, even at just a brief news interview earlier, and it between our schedules, it just didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll be back next year.
I hope so.
Anyway. Yeah, I think there's enough people now that want to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
It'll evolve.
Yeah, and Rod's young enough to keep it going.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you both would like to say about the Friday night Nemo Point potlucks?
No.
Okay.
Not really. We just gotta hope, you know, we've got room for more people. Because since it is a potluck, everybody has to bring enough food for them and just a little bit more. So it works out fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and some people bring their own folding chairs and stuff. And
right. Good. Good to know. Okay, well, let's just say what's a really good dish that you've had recently at the potlucks, or not so recently, that you'd like to see?
Not nearly enough vegetables show up. And even some people, they're not cooks, so they'll bring a bag of chips or a veggie tray from the store or whatever. But anything, we all appreciate the good home cooked food and whatnot. So
yeah. And Bruce, what about you? What's a good dish that you've had before?
I think the best stuff we had this year so far was the crab, because
mm-hmm.
I can't believe people can eat that much crab, and it was tasty. Yeah. And then the porcupine chili wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And a lot of times with the crab, of course, that's not going to happen again until next year because the commercial fishermen have kind of cleaned things out. But, hey, that's their business, so that's fine. Yeah. But so a lot of the food's seasonal. But, yeah, we usually then have crab left over. I remember one year the tourists that we invited from the campground. And, yeah, we're having a free crab feed. We don't have to pay? No, not at all. So then about towards the end, I say, all right, there is one thing. And so they were afraid we're about to hit them with a bill. Everybody's got to take some crab home with them. We got leftovers.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your experiences with Nemo Point potlucks for Friday nights. So that was Bruce Eagle and Susan Wise Eagle talking with us on Talk on the Rock. We are now going to go into World Cafe.